Hey everyone, we're so glad you're here with us this morning. Here's what's coming up at Calvary Baptist Church. On Sunday, December 14th at 5 o'clock, we're going to have our annual adult and teen Christmas parties. This is a great time for us to grow together as a church family. Bring a white elephant gift for around $5 and be ready for a great time of fun, food, and connection. Sunday, December 21st, after the 5 o'clock service, we're going to go around our community and sing Christmas carols. This will be a great time for us to give back to our community. This Christmas Eve, we have a very special service planned. It's going to go from 7 to 8 o'clock. We're going to have a special message, special music, and hot cocoa for everybody in attendance. It's going to be a perfect opportunity to bring somebody that you know that's without Christ. This year we're having a very special Christmas offering that's going to go to the homeless in Tulare County. If you'd like to participate in this offering, you can designate it on the offering envelope by writing Christmas in the other slot. You can also give online at calvaryfairfield.org. Very first Young Adult Winter Escape, January 8th and the 10th. This is a great time to escape the pressures of school and work and enjoy the beautiful mountains, along with spiritual encouragement and great connection. If you want any details, see Andrew Field or John Ortiz after the service. Well, that's it for today. If you'd like some more information, you can check us out on Facebook, or you can log on at calvaryfairfield.org. And if you're a guest, don't forget to stop by the guest table in the lobby and get your free guest bag. We'll see you next time.
Well, I hope you could read lips. Hey, try some new technology. You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. What can we say? We're trying to keep things smooth and make it a little bit more comfortable for most of you. And we apologize. We're still working through a few issues. But I think it looks good. It came out a little bit better. So, again, thank you for being here. We have two new people as part of the church now. We have Stella May, who was born yesterday. So the Smiles were just all excited, and so that's great. And then we had Lena Murphy, and she was born on Monday. And so we have two new babies in the nursery. So there'll be mutiny in the nursery this week, so... So that's great, and really excited about that, and congratulate them. I just want to give you that announcement. If you would please, and follow along with me as we think today about darkness. You ever thought about darkness, you know, and how that darkness seems to haunt us every day? I mean, every day we find that you know, there's darkness, and this time of year we have a lot more darkness than we do daylight. So it reminds us of things about the darkness that our world has. Think of the fact is that darkness has a certain kind of power. Because darkness, what it can do is it can end our day quickly. It can ruin outside activities. It can limit and restrict our vision. It can take away our confidence. There's so many things that darkness can do. The power that darkness has. It also has the sense in which it creates an atmosphere that breeds crime. I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the greatest deterrents of crime is not a police officer, it's light. For certainly we understand that's the way it is. But you know, a lot of people are afraid of darkness. There's a phobia called nyctophobia of darkness. It has to do with the fact that people are afraid and they have these phobias about darkness. Well, it's also true that not only do we have darkness physically, but our world has spiritual darkness as well. I mean, our world is, according to the Bible, in darkness. The idea of darkness is, of course, pointing to the fact of man's limitation and man's sinfulness and where man is. And if a man doesn't realize it in his spiritual darkness, he can be confused. The Bible makes a very clear statement when it says these words. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is with Christ, and walk in darkness, that is we live worldly or live in this world, and we lie and do not the truth. So the idea then is, if you are a believer, you ought to walk in the light and not in the darkness. But there are a lot of people who do not realize how darkness is. And then they get trapped in darkness, and they're trying to figure out how in the world can they get out of it. How can we get out of this darkened world? And in other words, how can we make this world not so dark? And how can we make life different? And how can things change? You know, the world is engulfed in darkness. And we see that clearly taught throughout the Bible. Because in darkness, we don't know anything. We're unaware of things. I don't know about you, but when I was in darkness, that is before I became a believer, what happened for me is I didn't know anything about God and the Bible and church. I didn't know any of these things. There was just no understanding of that. I mean, for you, you may be that way as well. You might find yourself, you have no idea of what this business is all about. Some people think that they're going to heaven because they're good people. I met a lot of good people, but we don't go to heaven because we're good people. And those who think that are lost in the darkness and confused in the darkness, and that's right where the devil wants all of us. You see, if the devil could, he would try to keep us all in darkness, because by keeping us trapped in the darkness of this world, then he can get the glory. He can get the praise. He can get the attention. And that's certainly what the Satan wants. He wants all the attention. He wants all those things. Sometimes I'll meet people say something like this to me. You know, the reason why I'm going to heaven is because I was confirmed, or I've been baptized. And I know that people will lean on that. But let me tell you this. Baptism can't take you to heaven. And your life has not changed because you've been confirmed or you're a church member. You can join every church in town, but that can't happen. You cannot be changed because you're a church member. In fact, the truth of the matter is, the longer the devil can keep us in darkness, the blinder it seems as though we get. 2 Corinthians says it like this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. In other words, we have our minds darkened by the things the devil brings to into our lives to confuse us and get us off track, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Some of you might be familiar, but in Alaska, that they have darkness a lot longer than we do, and there are problems that people have. For example, in Anchorage, which is the biggest city in Alaska, it has about, in December, it has somewhere around 7 hours of daylight and the rest is darkness. In January, that moves up to 8.5, 8.5 hours a day of daylight and the rest is darkness. But if you go all the way to Barrows, Alaska, which is way up north, you get to the top, about November the 19th, they do not have any sunrise at all. Until the end of January. So can you imagine living in a place where it's dark all the time? 20% of Alaskans have a problem with this idea of darkness, because you know when you live in darkness, you can get confused. Your circadian rhythm can get messed up. Your sleeping patterns can get messed up, and it creates a lot of difficulties and problems that people have. Some they have delirium, and they have weight gain, and they get depressed. Depression comes, and some commit suicide, and others. I read about how that military, when they come from like Iceland and certain places, that when they come back into the country to get kind of reorientated, if they had not been careful enough to maybe sit under a therapeutic light for a part of time when they're on their deployment, that, you know, they start having problems, and there's side effects that are involved with that. Because the fact of the matter is, we need light. We need light. Light is essential. Light is critical for us. And without light, we are really in a mess. And so it's true with our spiritual life as well. The Bible speaks of the fact that the first century was a time of great darkness. It was a time when, for them, they had religion. In fact, they had a religion that was much stronger than the religions of today. I mean, it was impacting the ancient world. They had pleasures. They had philosophy. They had education. They had all of those things. It sounds rather familiar to us today. It seems as though we have all those things as well. But they're still in darkness. You see, you can have all the progress you want and all the technology you want, but that alone will not get us out of the darkness. The only way we can get out of the darkness is through the light of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1 with me this morning. In John chapter 1, are you awake this morning?
Amen.
Everyone awake and good to go? Christmas and all that good stuff? Excited about Christmas? Two of you are. Good. They're the ones that don't have any money. Just look at them, you know. So, John chapter 1. Buy all your Christmas stuff. John chapter 1. And beginning with verse number 6, we hear from the account of John. John, of course, as he was supposedly the closest human being to Jesus when he was on earth. We find that John was the one that laid on Jesus' breast. It seems as though everywhere Jesus went, John was there. And so he's writing and he wants to share to this darkened world how important it is to have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in his life. And quite frankly, they weren't listening. Quite frankly, they weren't paying attention. If you would notice in verse number 6, the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which, I want you to notice this phrase here, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice here in verse number 7, the Bible said that Jesus came, but they did not comprehend and did not understand what he was all about. He came, and yet mankind didn't recognize the light. They didn't recognize who he is. But there's something most interesting I find here is the fact that even though there's light, there's still a lot of people who are living in darkness. They're walking in darkness. Why do we walk in darkness? Why is it that we feel as though we have to walk in the darkness of this world? What is it? Is it a comfort? Is it that which we're comfortable with? I mean, really, when you think about it, if you notice here in the passage, these verses explain to us that when you come to the light, that light gives you life. In fact, there's a correlation between light and life. And the fact is that when we think about this correlation, that Jesus being the light of the world, that he brings for us a light that will change us. And notice the Bible says it's in our lives that he makes the change. It's when he comes into your life, and he comes into my life. My question is, has he come into your life yet? Has he come to you right where you are? And that's how Jesus comes. Aren't you glad he comes that way? Amen? Isn't it good to know that Jesus doesn't come to us just because we clean up our act and look better? He comes to us right where we are, even when we don't have our act, so to speak, cleaned up. He comes to us just as we are. And he accepts us just as we are. That's why I love that song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. God takes and me just as we are. But it's interesting to notice here that there are some contrasts the Bible speaks of. We have the contrast of light and darkness. We have the contrast of truth and falsehood. And we have the contrast of holiness and sinfulness. And the Bible says that when you look at it, those who live in darkness are on one side And those who live in the light are on the other side, because that light offers to us what you and I understand as being the real light, the real life, life over death. Aren't you glad today that you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? I'll tell you this, it's a great honor to be able to know that we can go into the Christmas holidays realizing the fact that Jesus Christ is the real light of the world. You know, we see candles around, or we put out candles. We have candles, and they're everywhere. But the candle points to the fact that Jesus brings light into the world. He is the only light that we have. So why is he the spiritual light? What's so significant? Well, number one is the one thing is true is that darkness cannot stand light. I mean, darkness doesn't cover light. Light destroys darkness. And when the light of the gospel comes into your life, and I don't know about you, but when I met Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, all of a sudden, it was like a light came on in my life. The things that I didn't understand or didn't know or didn't really, you know, put all together, when the light came in, it just illuminated my total understanding of God, of the Bible, of church, of what this is all about. I'm not surprised why the world thinks we're nuts, because, you know, we come here to church and we do these things, because they're blinded to the truth of what you and I have. But I'm glad that when the light came, it really gave for us a clear understanding of what God can do in our life and what God can do in the lives of other people and what God means in His Word. You know, for me, I read the Bible before, had no clue in what He was saying. Once the light came in and destroyed the darkness in my life, now all of a sudden everything started making sense to me. There are some things I still don't understand. There's still some things I don't know. But the light conquered the darkness in my life. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. I need the light of God every day in my life. I need to defeat the darkness around me. I need to live in such a way that I have the light of the gospel shining in my life every day so that I can defeat the darkness. And there are a lot of things that come into my life that are dark that the devil tries to bring, but I can conquer that through the power of Jesus Christ. So spiritual light, number one, conquers darkness. Number two, it gives direction. One of the things I found is when we take light in darkness, it always points in a direction. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and by that, I'm not talking about the fact that we become a good person. I'm talking about the fact that we realize that we can't do anything to take ourselves to heaven, that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And by putting our faith in Him, He gives us direction. What is the direction? He's always going to point us toward heaven. He's always going to take us in the direction of heaven. He's always going to take us in the direction of the light. He's always going to take us in the direction of holy living. He's only going to take us in the direction of serving and following Him. And so God makes that very clear that we need that. And that light gives direction. You might be here this morning, you may be looking for some direction in your life. I have a lot of people will say, you know, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what direction to go. Well, when you get attached to the light of Jesus Christ, He gives you direction. When you understand that this light that God gives to us in my life is that direction, that pathway that I can go and follow every day. But thirdly, we must know that it ignites life in me. You see, I am dead in my trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2. That means that for me, that I'm in living in such a way that before I met Christ, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. But when He gave me life, life begins with Him. Now, it's so funny. The other day, I was listening to the radio or the news or something, and they're talking about there's some new space exploration. And evidently, there's something that's more powerful, 100 times more powerful than the Hubble telescope they had launched. And what they're saying is they're going to try to get that telescope up in the sky, so far up, where they're going to be able to look, I guess they said, beyond this atmosphere and look at the multiple atmospheres and the multiple galaxies that we have in the world. And they said, well, what are you doing this for? I mean, the interviewer was asked, why are you doing this? Here's what he said. He said, because that's going to answer when everything all got started. That's going to answer it. And they're saying, okay, how much is this? Well, you know, we're talking $100 billion or whatever it is, some unbelievable amount. And that's going to answer once and for all how everything got started. By the way, John tells us how everything got started. And you don't have to spend $100 billion. You just simply have the Word of God in your hand. You know, they're still trying to find where light began, or where life begins. People think life begins in some other place, in some other way. There's some people that believe that life begins at a bottle. That I don't really, they think that, you know, that's what I need. I need a bottle for this time of year. Some people think life begins with a pill. Some people think life begins with another relationship, or another job, or another car, or maybe even more, maybe a bigger house. That's when life really begins. Let me tell you something. Life is not any of those things. Life is in Jesus Christ. When we understand that, when we see the fact that God brings us life through His Son, we realize that life is in the relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I like the fact that every day that we can open up our Bibles and He can speak to us. I just want you to know that He's alive. You know how I know that? I talked to Him this morning. And He talked to me. And as I open the Bible and I read it and I listen to what God has to say, He's speaking to my heart. He's feeding me. He's telling me about the wonderful things that what He can do in our lives. And this morning, as I was praying for you, and as the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, God was just reminding me of the fact of what He did in my life by giving me true life in Jesus Christ. So when you think about this time of year, as we celebrate the holidays and we celebrate all the things that are surrounded around the holidays, I just want you to remember the fact that the great light comes into this world of darkness to illuminate the truth of God. That we understand that this is what this time of year reminds us of. That when God sent the light to the world, because certainly this world needs light. According to verse number 9, it's the light that lighteth every man. How does that happen? Well, maybe this is where you are. I like this drawing. I've used it a couple times, but I want to call your attention. Maybe this is where you are. You are on one side trying to find out which life would be best. Should I stay on the one side, or do I want to get over here on the other side? One side's with God, one side's with the world. One side's in darkness, the other side's in light. How do I get there? The only way I can get there is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about it this way? You know, this time of year, for a lot of people, it's about the tree and decorating the tree. You know, a lot of people like decorating, you know. I think Nathan was asking about if you had your decorations up and all that. A lot of people like decorating the tree. I guess in a sense you could say this. It is about the tree, that tree. Because if Jesus didn't come, He couldn't have died. Think about this. This time of year is a reminder of the fact that Jesus Christ came to die for us. And really, to be honest with you, Christmas points us to Easter, the resurrection. It points us to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Today, right now, what I'm inviting you to do is, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to receive Him right now. John chapter 1, verse 12, that verse is, but as many as received Him, that's Jesus. If you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you can be forgiven. Sometimes Christians have forgotten about the light. Sometimes they choose to go back into the darkness. I'm not sure why. I think they like the benefits of the gospel without living in the light. What about you? Have you become guilty as a Christian of neglecting the light, of neglecting Christ in your life? I'm always shocked by the verse there. It says in verse 11, He came unto His own and His own received Him not. I wonder how many times that's true of us. Jesus has come to us in maybe moments when we are making our decisions, or maybe we are dealing with some things in our life. He's trying to come to us, and we don't receive him. We send him away. Jesus, go away. I don't need you right now. I don't really need you around right now. Don't bother me right now. You know, I know that I've been asked to do something for the Lord. I know I've been asked to give something to help others. I know I've been asked to do these things, but Lord, not right now. Don't bother me with that right now. I wonder how many would have to be honest to say, you know what, that's true of me. That for me, that what I've done is that the Lord has come to me and spoken to me, but I sent him away. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the strangest thing, sometimes we just have the light right in front of us. We don't even turn it on. We don't turn on our life. Can you imagine if everyone would turn the light of the gospel on in their life? What a different world we'd be. I really believe it'd be an awesome thing if you think about this great light. If that would come into our world. And here's the thing that God challenges us with. The fact that not only did he send the light, but we are to reflect the light. Everywhere we go. Wherever you go, where I go. We are a reflection of everything that Jesus Christ is. That's why it says, he was not the light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. And that's true of you and me. Oh, this Christmas, I think it'd be an awesome thing if we could bring the light and turn it back on in our life. I believe the Christian homes would be much better if we would just turn the light back on. And what I mean by better, let me explain to you. I think that means that there'd be a greater commitment to Christ. That there would be a resolution of those who, maybe there's some conflict within the home. I believe it would also be true of Christians in conflict out of the home. If you have some type of a conflict between somebody else, man, when you have the light back in your life, you can make that right. I do not believe that Christians ought to have something against another Christian. I think we ought to make that right. And it'd be wonderful if we could just somehow or another just say, you know what, man, I've been wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want to make things right, and just make things right. Because I don't know about you, but I don't like walking in darkness. I can't have this thing about darkness. I'm not really keen on it. I like to have the light. The light makes all the difference in the world. You see, that's why when the light comes, it really matters. Perfect Christmas time of year. Couples hand in hand enjoying the season of the year. Think about it this way. Jesus Christ, he's the greatest light. He's the light of Christmas. Today, God sent Jesus Christ to shine in your heart and life. Will you turn to him today? Heavenly Father, I pray today that as we have come here, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us in the moments that we have together.